Hi, Nancy here. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. I'm often asked by listeners or by guests in my nutrition lectures about the health benefits of red wine. And I really can't answer that question fully without talking about the risks and the benefits of alcohol in general. I will say, though, that red wine does contain an antioxidant known as resveratrol that's been shown to have some heart benefits, but there's also a risk to alcohol. I tell you, one thing is certain. We love to hear good news about our bad dietary habits. And that statement is so true about alcohol. In preparing for this podcast, I spent time reviewing many studies that have been published over the last 4 years. My goal for today is to provide you some information so you can use it to make informed choices. I will begin by saying that with all things related to diet, it's what we do 90% of the time that matters. So really, unless a person is an alcoholic, there's probably no evidence to support complete abstention. But I will also say that we tend to not pay attention to the definitions used in studies. For example, if I said, "Do you think you're a heavy drinker?" You'd likely laugh at me and say, "No, I'm not a heavy drinker." But let's define drinking. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention defines moderate drinking as one drink per day for women and two for men. A drink means 12 ounces of beer, 5 ounces of wine, or 1.5 ounces of spirits. However, in the studies I read, heavy drinking is defined as 8 or more drinks per week for women and 15 or more for men. So recognize if a woman consumes 2 glasses of wine a day, 5 out of 7 days of a week, she'd be classified as a heavy drinker. So just put that into perspective of your own personal habits. Also, to make sense of some of the conclusions in the studies, it'd be helpful to you understand the difference between relative risk and absolute risk. Absolute risk is the percentage chance something's going to occur in a population. Let's say the absolute risk of dying of a particular condition is 2%. And that's the relative risk. Now we change the situation, say out of behavior, which increases the risk to 4%. Well, gee, you've doubled the relative risk. But what about the absolute risk? Maybe for every 100,000 people, only one person dies from this condition. But by adding a certain behavior, 2 in 100,000 people die. So we've doubled the risk still, but we still have pretty low numbers. So just keep the numbers in mind, and sometimes the percentages are a little bit misleading. One thing is certain, the more alcohol you consume, the higher the risk to your health. Based on a comprehensive international study, regardless of whether you're male or female, if you have more than one drink a day, you're likely consuming too much alcohol. In 2018, researchers reported on their study about the impact of alcohol consumption on 23 different health problems. These problems included suicide tendencies, tuberculosis, liver cirrhosis, cardiovascular disease, and 8 different types of cancer, as well as transportation-related injuries and other accidents. They reported that per 100,000 people, the risk of experiencing health problems increased with the use of alcohol. From 914 people to 918 people per 100,000 individuals. So we had 4 people have an increased risk. The risk jumps to 977 per 100,000 for those who have at least 2 drinks a day. So you can see the jump is pretty significant. But the change in absolute risk is still fairly insignificant unless you're one of those people who died. We do love to hear good news about our bad habits, and especially as it applies to longevity. A study published in July of 2019 reported that seniors who are moderate or occasional drinkers live longer than their peers who don't drink any alcohol at all. They surveyed a total of nearly 8,000 men and women who were born between 1931 and 1941. And these people provided researchers with information about their drinking habits since 1992. The problem was that this and other population studies classified those that quit drinking in response to ill health as non-drinkers. This is the problem of reverse causation. Instead of abstaining leading to poor health may have led to abstention. There's other data that confounds the situation. For example, light drinkers as a group may be more likely to enjoy a glass of wine with a piece of grilled salmon and a plate of veggies rather than with a cheeseburger and fries. And that's why perhaps a drink appeared protective. In the case of alcohol, we really cannot do randomized controlled trials, so we do have to rely on population studies. We just have to understand that the results are association and not cause and effect. Also, despite the study's conclusions, the researchers acknowledge that associations between and indicating potential health benefits of moderate drinking are increasingly being viewed with skepticism, and that the role of moderate drinking in mortality continues to be debated. And there are many health conditions for which no safe dose of alcohol has been found. And that's the position of an international cancer group. They say there is no safe level for alcohol consumption as it relates to cancer. Drinkers face higher risks than non-drinkers for developing cancers of the throat, larynx, esophagus, breast, liver, and colon. The more you drink and the longer you've been drinking, the higher your risk, especially to head and neck cancers. This information is based on a 2017 study by the American Society of Clinical Oncology. We'll call them ASCO for short. They surveyed 4,016 Americans. Now, in the U.S., an estimated 3.5% of all cancer deaths are attributable to drinking. But to be honest, these are likely due to heavy drinking. And heavy drinking can put you at 5 times the risk faced by non-drinkers for mouth and throat cancer, as well as esophageal cancer. Bear in mind that this increase in risk means if 1 in 100 people get a certain type of cancer, 5 times the risk means that 5 in 100 will be affected. Remember about absolute risk, and that helps put percentages in perspective. Well, how about breast cancer, something that really is very worrisome to women? The absolute risk of a 40-year-old woman contracting breast cancer in the next 10 years is 1.45%. That amounts to 1 woman in 69. According to ASCO, the relative increased risk due to 1 daily drink of wine or beer containing about 10 grams of alcohol increases the risk of premenopausal breast cancer by 5% and postmenopausal breast cancer by 9%. But again, that's 5 or 9% of 1.45%, and that's not a huge increase in numbers. Eating a healthy diet may help modulate the risk of alcohol consumption. Although alcohol increases the risk of breast cancer, a fiber-rich diet actually has the opposite effect. So eating more whole plant foods may be able to ease the adverse effect of alcohol. alcohol has been shown to increase sex hormone levels like estrogen, which may increase the risk of breast cancer. But you see the opposite happen with eating fiber-rich food. And fiber appears to bind estrogen in the colon and help flush it out of the body. But even so, there does not appear to be any level of alcohol consumption that is completely safe from a cancer standpoint. I'll just talk about a couple more things before I finish up this episode. Gum disease. The New York University School of Medicine study showed that daily drinkers had fewer of the normal bacteria known to check the growth of harmful germs. Daily drinking is associated with changes in the makeup of the 700 or so bacteria that normally reside in the mouth, and those changes can lead to gum disease and an increased risk of heart disease and cancers of the head, neck, esophagus, and pancreas. So we'll finish this up by talking about stroke. A review from a Sweden Institute and the Cambridge University in UK published their results in 2016, and they suggest that consuming 1 to 2 alcoholic drinks daily appears to protect against the most common type of stroke, but raises the risk of the other type. But increasing over 2 drinks a day raises the risk of both types of stroke. So just keep in mind that having a glass of wine a day may actually reduce your risk of the most common types of stroke, but if we overboard, we may increase our risk of all types of stroke. So, I really have so much more to say on this subject, but back again, we have this expression, everything in moderation and nothing to excess. So I've given you the definition of moderation and encourage you to comply with that definition. I also encourage you to think about choosing red wine more often than other drinks because of the resveratrol. I'll also give this advice. If you don't drink, don't start for the health of it. If you do drink, as I mentioned, opt for red wine. And keep alcohol consumption below the level defined as moderate. Eat lots of vegetables and make sure that your diet contains lots of naturally occurring fiber. So with that, I'll call it an end of this episode. Thank you for listening to the entire 13 minutes, and I hope you will post me questions if you have any, and tune in next week for another episode. Nancy Teeter out.